Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the blessings, Lord, of studying the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your Word gives us encouragement, Lord. Even when we live in a society, Lord, of evil doers, we know that you are faithful and true, and that you bring judgments on those that do wrong. And ultimately, in the end, you will deliver those that are trusting in you, Lord. So, Father, we pray that you would take these psalms, Lord, as we look at these books or these chapters and psalms, that we would gain the truth that we should from it and apply it to our lives, constantly looking to you and trusting in you to bring justice, Lord, in this world. And so we just ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. All right. So, kasama na rin dyan si Sister Alinor, nanonood din, si Nanay, Tatay, nanonood. All right. So, if you have a Bible, get your Bibles and let's open them to the book of Psalm number 52. At dahil maikli ang Psalm 52, we're also going to look at Psalm number 53. Because they're two short psalms. Now, the size of the psalm is not important. They're short, but the message is huge in both psalms. And it has to do with the judgment of God upon evildoers, the judgment of God upon the foolish. It's all about the judgment of God. God's going to bring judgment to evildoers and to the foolish. Whether a person is saved or whether a person is not saved, God's judgment is sure to come, and because of his holiness. And so we'll see this in Psalm number 52 and 53 today. And so you have the outline here. We'll look at that later. 53 over here. 53 is more of a simple outline. It doesn't have that chiastic structure like we see in other psalms. Anyway, but Psalm number 52, let's look at Psalm 52. We have these inspired headings. And let me just say, again, when you study the book of Psalms, you'll find that there are writings underneath the chapter. Like it says Psalm 52, underneath that it says, to the chief musician Maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, that those words are part of the Masoretic Hebrew text where we get the King James English from. And they are part of the Hebrew text. So this is not a translator's notes. These are not editor's notes. These were not inserted later. These are part of the Hebrew. And they provide a background to the psalm that we're studying. And so these are significant words. Now, notice it says here, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, we're in Psalm number 52, okay? When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. You will find this psalm references 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. So if you go back, we're not going to do that today, but if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22 in the Old Testament, you will find the story of Doeg, the Edomite, turning in the information that King Saul needed in order to track down David and to hunt him down. So Doeg is definitely a historical character. You see that in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 22. And you find that he exposes the house of Ahimelech, who was the high priest at that time, living in a town called Nod. You have to look at 1 Samuel 22 there. And Saul takes up his army and he goes to Nod and he meets Ahimelech and asks Ahimelech, why did you protect David? Why did you allow David to escape? What's going on here? You're disloyal to Saul. And Ahimelech basically didn't know. You know, he thought, well, David was the one who is the champion. Didn't he kill Goliath? And I gave him Goliath's sword and all that. And King Saul wasn't happy with Ahimelech, so he ordered Doeg to kill Ahimelech and 85 priests. And then kill the men, the women and children of Nod on top of that killing. This high priest's house. So, why did Doeg do this? Well, he's an evildoer. He's a wicked man. And so let's look at Psalm 52. Let's look at those words again to the chief musician. That's Asaph. We know that's Asaph. And you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 to 6. And you'll read about Asaph or Heman or Ethan, also known as Jeduthun. And so David composed this and then he gave it to Asaph to be used for instruction. Now, how do we know it's instruction? Because of the word maskil. Look at the next word. To the chief musician, maskil. So, anong ibig sabihin ng maskil? Yung maskil, ang ibig sabihin noon, instruction. Oh, so, napaka-importante ng mga letters na ito, ng mga words na ito sa ilalim ng 52. Kasali ho yan sa Hebrew na pinanggalingan ng Ingles. So, it's true. These are inspired words. These are words of instruction. These are words that that teach us what does God think of evil men like Doeg. So we have here a Psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So now we know the background of Psalm 52, located in 1 Samuel 22. So sa pag-aaral ninyo ng salita ng Diyos, you will go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 22. That way you can learn more about Doeg. But Ahimelech was the priest that helped David. But there's a problem. And we'll look at that at the end here. So let's go ahead and read. We'll look at the outline of Psalm 52. Ito yung outline. So sa pag-aaral natin sa Psalm 52, merong apat na bahagi. There's four parts to Psalm 52. Verses 1 to 4 is the folly of evil. And it matches the last two verses here, the blessing of righteousness, opposites, okay? The folly of evil, the blessings of righteousness, verses 8 and 9. And then you'll move to God's judgment in verse 5, and it matches God's judgment in verse number 6 and 7, and it's all about the judgment of God. So both 52 and 53 are all about judgment. All right? Then, so we'll look at 53 later in a little bit. But let's look at the four parts of 52. The four parts of 52. All right, verses number 1 to 4. Verses number 1 to 4. Let's see. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? So this is the mighty man here is Doeg. Right? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief. Wow, this is, it's amazing how the Bible describes wicked men. Their tongue is full of mischief, devising mischief, planning to do wrong, planning to do sinful things. Like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good. You see that? Thou lovest evil more than good. Do you love evil more than good? If you love evil more than good, you have the heart of Doeg. You are like Doeg. And this is the problem with sinful man. This is our problem as sinful people. There are times when our hearts love evil more than good. And that's not a good thing. That's why we need to repent. That's why we need to get cleansing for our sins. We need to check our hearts. We need to put a check on our heart. Do we love evil more than good? And remember, there are people who really love evil more than good. It's not unusual. Mag-ingat kayo sa mga tao na kinakausap ninyo. Mag-ingat kayo. Hindi lahat ng tao nagmamahal sa tama. Mas mahal nila ang mali kaysa sa tama. Kaya huwag kayong masyadong mag-believe sa mga, lalo na sa mga politika, nako. Mas mahilig yan sa mali kaysa sa tama. Yung mga naghahatol, mga gumagawa ng batas. May mga batas ho, kahit na batas yan, mali pa rin. Anyway, but be careful. Not everybody loves good. Some love evil more than good. Not good. Not good. thou, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. Then there's that Selah. Pause and break and think about what was being talked about. This is a description. This is God's perspective of sinful man. Aren't you glad we're not blind? We have a biblical understanding of how human, sinful people are, how we are. Be careful. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. They like devouring words instead of encouraging words, instead of loving words. They love devouring words. Yung mga salita na mali, yung mga salita na marurumi, yung mga salita na pangit, yon ang gusto nila. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Don't begin to love and desire devouring words. That is not a character trait of a righteous person. That is the character trait of a Doeg. So are you like Doeg in your heart? Examine your heart. Do you love evil more than good? Do you use devouring words more than loving words and encouraging words? Examine. So here then we find God's judgment upon the wicked. Verse number 5. This is what God does to Doeg. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. And he shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. Notice how God judges Doeg. He will destroy him forever. How could you be destroyed forever? How does that happen? I thought when you destroy something, it's gone. No. Destroy means ruination. Destroy is to ruin, to break down something, but it doesn't mean to get rid of something. You know, when a person is cast into the lake of fire because of God's judgment, they don't disappear. It's not like a bubble, they're annihilated. No, there's no annihilation in Scripture. There is eternal destruction to be destroyed forever. That's ongoing judgment for all eternity. And see how the Scriptures talk about these things. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. So what happened to Doeg? Well, God judged him. Forever. So, if that's true, where is Doeg today? Is he in heaven? I don't think so. He is suffering the torments of hell even today. So you see the judgment of God upon the evil. Let's look at wisdom from God's judgment. Verses 6 and 7. Wisdom from God's judgment. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Someday we'll see him. We'll see. One day we're going to see all the souls that God judges and casts into the lake of fire, including the devil, the evil one. Verse number 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Doeg. This is Doeg. So, verse number 8 and 9, the blessing of righteousness. This is the blessing of righteousness, verses 8 and 9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Now, in contrast to the wicked man and the cursed man, is the believer. And the Bible says the believer is like a green olive tree in the house of God. Blessing. Success. Spiritual blessing. Maybe not physical blessing, but definitely spiritual blessing and life. True life. Spiritual life. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever, forever. So instead of eternal destruction, it's eternal life forever and forever when you're blessed of God, when you avoid and when you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So David had this hope in his heart that he will be saved, that he will be delivered from Doeg and from Saul, and ultimately from the wrath of God because of his faith in the Messiah, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we find in Psalm 52, what does God think? How does God describe the sinful man? And what is the end of the sinful man? And what does God describe the believer, the believing man, the believer? And how does God take care of the believer? So amazing, verse number, Psalm 52. Now Ahimelech, let me get you back to Ahimelech here. Ahimelech was the priest. But the problem with Ahimelech goes all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. So 1 Samuel 22 is the background, but there's a background to 1 Samuel 22. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, God judged the house of Eli. So Ahimelech, his grandfather or great-grandfather, was Eli. And God cursed the house of Eli. Do you remember why? Because Eli did not take care of his sons. Because Eli allowed his sons to defile the sacrifice and offered burnt sacrifices, false worship. And his sons were evil fornicators, and he did not stop them. Basically, Eli disrespected God. And so God put a curse on Eli. And it was fulfilled. The curse was fulfilled in Ahimelech later. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This will be the background on the background. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? So God sent a prophet to Eli to judge Eli and his house. Verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now, for them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So Eli, you had a responsibility to honor the Lord, but you didn't. Instead of honoring him, you despised him. You and your house despised the Lord. Sad, sad, sad commentary here. Look at verse number 31. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Verse number 32. And thou shalt see an enemy in mine habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, there shall be not an old man in thine house forever. And it goes on and on, the judgment of God on Eli. There's not going to be an old man in your family. Not an old man in your house, Eli. And Ahimelech is the descendant of Eli. And so Saul killed the house of Ahimelech and 85 other priests. There was not an old man in the house of Eli. And so you see, God uses evil men to judge evil men, and then those evil men will also be judged by God Almighty. So you see, this is a pattern in the Bible. So Israel, God used Assyria to destroy Israel. But God will judge Assyria with Babylon. And then God uses Babylon to destroy Judah. But then God judges Babylon with Persia. You see? And then Persia will be destroyed by Greece. And then Greece will be destroyed by Rome. And then Rome will be destroyed by the revived Roman Empire will be destroyed by the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So God uses evil men to judge evil men, but those evil men will also be judged. And so we have that in Psalm 52. All right? So, a lot of interesting information in Psalm 52. Let's go to Psalm 53. Psalm number 53 as we bring this to a conclusion here. Let me see here. Yep. Psalm 53. All right. So, it's the same thing. We have an inspired writing underneath the number 53. Psalm 53 says, to the chief musician upon Mahalath. Mahalath. So, what does Mahalath mean? Well, it means sickness. Sickness, Mahalath. It's used twice in the book of Psalms. It's used here in Psalm 53, and it's also used in Psalm 88, but we won't go to 88 until later. But Psalm 53, to the chief musician, we know who the chief musician is, Asaph, predominantly. Same passage of scripture there, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 and 6. You can look that in your study notes, it's there. And then it says here, Maskil, a psalm of David. Again, Maskil means instruction. Okay, so we saw that in Psalm 52. Maskil means instruction. So again, David is using this to instruct the believers and the worshipers concerning man. Again, concerning man. This is, again, a commentary, insight from God about sinful man. Biblical understanding of sinful man. So, verse number one, a Psalm of David, then it says there. The fool had said, the outline. I got to do the outline. It's a simple outline, 3 points outline only. The fool in verses 1 to 3. The judgment of fools, again, verses 4 and 5. And then the salvation of Israel, the salvation of Zion in verse number 6. So simple outline. Basically, again, it's about judgment. Judgment, judgment, judgment. God always judges the fool. God always judges the evil and the wicked because of His holiness. All right, so let's look at verses, let's see here, verses 1 to 3. Verses 1 to 3. Psalm 53, verses 1 to 3. The fool has said in his heart, there's that evil heart again. Okay, so again, in verse number 52, it doesn't mention the heart, but it talks about the heart of the problem. And the problem of the heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. What a commentary. What a divine commentary on the status of sinful man. They're foolish. They're corrupt. They have done abominable iniquity. None does good. None seeks after the Lord. Impossible for sinful man to understand God. They don't even seek the Lord. This is divine perspective on sinful man. So we find that there. Every one of them is gone back and altogether become filthy. Verse 3. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. So in this world of sinners, how many are righteous and good in and of themselves alone? The Bible says none. We're all sinners, you see. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from His holiness and righteousness applied to the heart of faith, none of us are good. You see that? The only good in me is Jesus, and the only good in you is Jesus. If you believe on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you truly have Him in your heart as your Savior, your Lord and Savior. But other than that, oh my, it's all corruption. It's all sin. It's all foolishness. That's why sometimes there's no sound judgment. It doesn't come from a heart that's foolish, a heart that's corrupt. Don't expect corrupt hearts to help and to be a blessing. That's why you don't trust in sinful man. You ought to know better, especially when you know Psalm 52 and 53. All right? So now let's look at, let me get my outline here. Sorry. Let's see my outline here. All right, verses 4 and 5, the judgment of fools. Verses 4 and 5. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God had scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Now again, the principle is true. If you have a heart that despises God, God will despise you. But on the other hand, if you have a heart that trusts in the Lord, then God will bless you. That's the principle. It's like a mirror. It's like a mirror. If you honor the Lord will honor you. But if you despise the Lord will despise you. That this is who God is. This is what God is like. He judges the fools. All right, look at the last verse here. The salvation of Israel, the restoration of Israel. Verse number 6, oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. Zion means Jerusalem, the city of God. It's another name for Jerusalem. Were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, back from Babylon, back from Assyria, back from the revived Roman Empire, which will be revived in the tribulation period, back to the millennial kingdom for Israel here, it says. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So is God finished with Israel? Is God done with Israel? No, he's not. There's going to come a time when Jesus comes back and he will establish his kingdom upon Jerusalem. And he will rule and reign here on earth through Israel, the nation of nations, the Jehovah's true witnesses. Israel will be restored and there will be joy and gladness here on earth. What about us as New Testament believers? Are we going to be back to this earth and rejoicing here in this earth? No. The millennial kingdom has to do with Israel and the nations here. The believer will always be with the Lord in the Father's house. Remember the words of Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, the millennial kingdom is a time of joy. Yes, the earth will be restored to gladness and fullness of joy. But for the New Testament born-again believer, our hope is not even in the millennial kingdom. Our hope is in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to rule and reign beside Jesus. And our home is the Father's house. That's where we're a heavenly people. We're not even an earthly people. That's why our citizenship is in heaven. And so, yes, I'm glad Jesus will rule and reign here and on earth through David. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for the millennial kingdom. But that's earthly. And it'll last for 1,000 years. And then we'll have the New Jerusalem. But for the born-again believer, we have a blessed hope. And that blessed hope is that Jesus Christ, before he pours the God's wrath on this earth, he will snatch away all those who are born again, all those who are saved. Like a great magnet, he's going to attract everything metallic. Like a magnet attracts everything metallic. Everyone who truly has the Holy Spirit in his heart through faith in Jesus Christ will be taken out of the way. At the rapture of the saints, at the rapture of the believers. And that's our wonderful hope, that great mystery of changed bodies that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. That's our blessed hope. Anyway, so Psalm 52 and 53, divine insight into the wickedness and the folly of sinful man. So watch out for Doegs in your life. Watch out for that. But know and continue to trust in the Lord that even though we are surrounded by sinful, evil men, God will deliver us and God will bless us like a green olive tree in the house of God. Well, so what's the house of God today? Now, in David's time when he composed these Psalms, the house of God was the tabernacle. And then when Solomon was born, the house of God was the temple. A permanent structure, not like the tabernacle. So today, does God still use the temple in Jerusalem? No, he doesn't. He changed the program here on earth when he planted his New Testament local biblical Baptist assembly of baptized disciples, the church. The house of God for you and me, if you're born again, if you're saved, the house of God today in our dispensation is the church. And we ought to all be in church, faithfully serving the Lord, being a part of a biblical New Testament Baptist church, serving Him, looking forward to Him, taking us out of this world of sin. There's going to be one generation of believers that'll never see death. I hope that it's our generation. That's our blessed hope. We have that in our hearts if you know Jesus. All right, so wonderful, wonderful study in Psalm 52 and 53. Insight, divine insight into sinful man. And that's a character traits of those things. Make sure we're not the ones that are evil, loving sin and loving wickedness more than good. Let's continually cleanse, ask God for mercy and forgiveness and cleansing so that we could do the right thing and be holy and righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that are tuning in. We thank you, Lord, for those that are watching. And we thank you those for those that are studying the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms, the insights of God upon man. And so, Lord, I pray that you protect us. Help us to trust in you. Help us to order our worship before you in the New Testament Assembly of Baptized Disciples for this dispensation while we await the snatching away, the rapture of the believers because of your Son. And we ask that you bless now and honor your word in the hearts of people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. God bless you. Again, next Wednesday, same time, 7:30 ng gabi. And then, of course,